Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Zero, season 4, episode 15. I'm your host today, Jenna Anderson. BD is having a lot of fun at CinemaCon, but hopefully he will be back on the show next week. Joining me today are Aaron Perrine.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Jamie Jurak.
Good morning.
And Nick Valdez.
Howdy, everybody.
And we have a chunky show. We have so much to talk about. We have a lot of Fantastic Four news that dropped as kind of a post-credit scene to last week's episode. So that should be a lot of fun. And then obviously we're going to break down the fifth episode of X-Men 97. We will do that in the third portion of the show. We will warn you about spoilers. So if you haven't watched it yet, you will know right when to dip out. So yeah, we have a big chunky show. And as I said, there is some Fantastic Four news to kind of kick us off. So Jamie, take it away.
Yeah, soon after our episode ended last week, we got the big news that Julia Garner is playing Silver Surfer, Shaw LaBeouf, which is really exciting. We did a little video explaining who she is. She's the Silver Surfer. Jenna, I want to hear your thoughts about this.
First of all, I love Julia Garner so much, as I tweeted when this casting was announced. I have loved her since Electric Children, which was this really, really obscure indie movie she was in like 2011, 2012. I feel like I and maybe 10 other people on Tumblr watched it when it came out, and I've loved her ever since. So I think she is someone who is such a great actress. I'm curious to see her play anybody, but the fact that we're getting A, her as Silver Surfer, and B, her as Shaw LaBeouf, who isn't normally the Surfer in the comics. There's one iteration where she is, and we'll get into the specifics of that, but I'm just excited. I think this is a very cool, kind of unexpected choice.
I have so much more to say as we discuss more of this, because there's a weird trail of breadcrumbs as these quote-unquote recalibrations, who knows what retains from the previous universe and what retains from now. But there are things about this that make sense. While all the internet debated this with the kind of maturity and decorum that you expect from a public restroom on an interstate, I am excited to see what this iteration of Surfer and what the heck is going on with this movie, because it seems like there's a very exciting things to go on in Fantastic Four.
I mean, yeah, just in terms of like a CG aluminum foil person, I don't really care. You know, like it's not okay. Let me say that correctly. Like, I don't really care who the person is. It's just like, yeah, you're a CG person on screen, you know, voice, person, body type really does not matter to me. Performance will. And clearly, you know, she was cast because the performance will be there. So like, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what the rest of this like Fantastic Four movie shapes out to be. Like, this is fun. This is the fun kind of casting.
Jamie, how do you feel about it?
Oh, I mean, I'm excited. I think she's good. I've never seen Ozark, so I haven't seen her do a lot of things, but she's an Emmy winner. So I gotta believe she knows what she's doing. I think it's cool. I have no attachment to really the Silver Surfer in any form. So I'm interested to see how this is gonna play out. I think it's gonna be cool.
I do have to say, I have loved all of the Inventing Anna memes that have popped up since she played Anna Delvey very well on the Netflix show and had a lot of very memeable lines. We already in the comic book Slack were kind of making some of those jokes as soon as she was cast. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I like I know Jamie also helped kind of give people background information on Shala Ball, but she is essentially Norrin Rad, the original Silver Surfer, kind of his like long lost love. They meet in the cosmos. They fall in and out of love a bunch of times. And she becomes the Silver Surfer in the Earth-X storyline, which is in an alternate universe, which I know Aaron alluded to it. We will get to it, but there might be something to that potentially in what they're doing with the MCU. Ooh. But yeah, to Aaron's point, there was a lot of discourse, good and bad, of people not understanding that gender bending characters can just happen. But yeah, that wasn't the only Fantastic Four news that we got last week. It did not occur to me that they would drop something on 4/4, and I love that they did. That was such a pleasant surprise to wake up to. We got a new poster for the movie. I think we have it queued up if Richard wants to put it on the big board. Let's see. While we wait for that, it shows the Human Torch design. It shows art from Ryan Mindering, who does a bunch of concept art for Marvel. And it shows the Human Torch kind of aesthetic. It's very reminiscent of the OG Human Torch with like the vertical lines and everything. And yeah, it just looks very stylistically cool. How do y'all feel about it?
I have a lot of feelings because of what's going down at the bottom, the city down there. A lot of people were like, this is absolute confirmation that this movie takes place in another universe. I wouldn't call it absolute confirmation. We could just be doing a style thing. We don't know what's in the Foggy's head. Like, I'm sure it's very likely. Somebody online brought up the Jetsons, and I think that's a great example because the Jetsons was a 60s show that took place in the future, and this does have that like 60s futuristic vibe. And if it does take place in an alternate universe, I think that's what we're going to see, and that will be really cool. But I think that, you know, we could debate this to death. We've talked so many times about if it's going to be set in the 60s or when or where, and if it is the 60s somewhere else, I think that's really cool. But I like that this poster is making me think. It's given me lots to ponder. And I love that. Keep it coming. Keep it coming, please.
It's funny, too, because I feel like somebody at Marvel is just determined to break one Brandon Davis. Because everything he asked for happens in the funniest way possible. So he wanted us to care about other universes. But he also didn't want the movie to be set in the 60s. Yep. And they found a way, potentially, for them to do both at the same time. So it's just going to be so funny to watch him squirm whenever this thing happens when he's at the screening. I hope I'm in the same room. I really do. And the funny thing, too, is that it's both like very retro futurist, like, you know, the 60s vision for what Utopia would have looked like, which looks like the stratosphere at LAX. If anybody wants to go Google that, it's funny. there's the World Trade Center and the Empire State Building amidst all this sci-fi wildness. So it's both like the future that they imagine the 60s in our universe, but like also like not like... I feel like this universe probably has pizza pop and it's like shaped normal, you know? It's just very funny. I am massively intrigued because I have a fascination now, a sick fascination with the fan base asking for things, them getting things, but it's not exactly the way that they intend. And seeing how the reaction goes. Everybody's like, this is multiverse saga. We haven't been to other universes. Well, you might get it here. You might get it. You might just get what you're asking for, you know. Like Brandon Davis just outside of the Marvel Studios studios, like, give me what I want. Give me what I want. It's very funny. So yeah, I'm horribly intrigued.
Yeah.
Nick, how do you feel about it?
It's a shame that Brandon and I are in a quantum entanglement of our own. So, you know, we can't be in the same place at the same time. And, you know, because of that, he's not here to like actually hear what Aaron's saying. So what I will say in his stead, unfortunately, is like nothing what he would have reacted to. I'm just kind of blown away by the fact that I did never once consider that the lines on the suit would be the vertical lines from the comic imagery. So that kind of, I can't wait to see how they actually make that work in the live action movie. Like, I want to see that in motion. I want to see if we get that look for Human Torch, because I don't know how you do it. I honestly don't.
I agree. And I really hope that that is what they're going for, because especially considering how many silhouettes of like MCU hero costumes are very, very similar to each other, having those vertical lines would immediately stand out and would immediately be something different. And it's so different from the previous Human Torches that we've seen in live action, really. So I have high hopes that this is going to be what they're adapting. And then with the poster, they launched a thing on Marvel's website where they were offering a number of comics for free as part of 4-4 Day. And so those included Fantastic Four number one, which was the team's first appearance. It included Fantastic Four 48 through 50, which are the first appearances of Galactus and Silver Surfer, and Fantastic Four Life Story, which is from 2021 and kind of recounts the team's history through all of these different decades. Aaron, I know you have thoughts on this.
Well, I had to write it up for the site because I was working that morning and it was just a deluge of stuff. It was like, what's going on in the background of the poster? Does it look like comic stuff? JK was just in my ear like, Aaron, I need you to just keep going. Keep going. Keep shooting. And I was like, I was tired. I thought this might be how it went. So it's horribly entertaining. I love the Life Story titles from Marvel. So hearing that like raised my eyebrows further. It's like, oh, time actually moving. Look at that. It's going to be super weird. Along with some of the other rumors about this, about what might be going with Sue and Reed. I'm going to tiptoe because, you know, I have a bad penchant for just blurting things out that actually might happen. So I'm going to save the Oracle, the prophetness for later. But it is really fascinating to give people, number one, the Galactus trilogy, which has like the ultimate nullifier and other weird stuff in it, and then Life Story, and be like, all of these things are relevant. Have fun. They are not the same. They're from very different parts. It's going to be great.
I will also just say, as the comic evangelist on the show, I do love that we are promoting comics, that they're incentivizing people to go ahead and read comics like long before the movie is even out. I miss the days of the QR codes linking to free comics, but I think this is an even better way to kind of like get people invested in the source material. But yeah, Aaron tiptoed around it. Jamie mentioned it. We do have to bring it up. The biggest topic of debate is now, is this set on another Earth? And does the poster kind of confirm or deny that? Another facet of it that might be interesting is, on the Earth where Shalabal is the Silver Surfer alongside Norrin Rad, the Galactus of that universe is Franklin Richards, who is Reed and Sue's son. So that has started a lot of theories about whether or not that all might be on a different Earth, and that might be the version of Galactus that we might get. And like we said, kind of the aesthetic of the poster is definitely helping those theories too. So what does everyone think?
Cool. Yeah, that'd be so cool. Like, well, Galactus, first of all, would blow my mind because, you know, if it's in this retro-futuristic aesthetic, I really hope it's just someone in a giant fishbowl helmet, you know, like figuring out how to like do that in this thing. But if it is another world, that also means that there's no guarantee that they win at the end of the day. If we see a Galactus in another universe victorious, eating a whole planet, and we get to see what that looks like, then, you know, we can be like, oh, well, that's a threat in the main MCU. So I'm curious. I had no idea about this other world nonsense that was popping up, but hey, it would make sense. I mean, if you got time travel, you got universes, I don't care. Just give it to me.
I'm all for it. I think it's a really cool idea. My only thing, the one thing that I'm like hesitant about is, why did Doctor Strange say that they charted in the 60s? Because he had to mean the sacred timeline, because he wouldn't know the history of that timeline he was on. He had to have been talking about the main timeline. And I'm like, why did he say it? Well, if they just ignore it and never, like, maybe they'll come. I just have a feeling they're going to just pretend like that was never said.
There are two ways to interpret that line, and I was someone who was definitely interpreting it the same way that you were, because I really wanted to clown that they were going to set this movie in the 60s. So now that we know that's most likely going to be the case anyway, and I feel very vindicated. The other way to interpret that line is like he's mistaking the name Fantastic Four for like a rock group or like a music band, and basically saying like, oh, did you guys hit the Billboard charts in the 60s? So that's
stupid.
I know, but I'm just that is the way that like half of the internet interpreted that line once the movie came. So
I believe that that's what they meant, but if it is, yeah, like, that's a dumb thing to say. Let's use our words a little more carefully. That's like, I'm really annoyed by that. I have never even heard that. I think I hate that. I hate it. And I guess it could explain it.
Matt Shakman, go ahead and have the Stones open it with a cold open of Pedro Pascal and them like singing in a doo-wop group.
Yes.
And
yes.
have them chart in our universe and then be like, meanwhile, in another universe. That's how you get the marks. That's how you monkey's paw everybody. It's like, okay, you guys asked for it. There you go. In our universe, they weren't like a thing. They were just like a pop group. There you go. But in this other one, in this other more interesting one, one thing that's really funny that I thought about, which is like hilarious, like this is like a level of unnecessary galaxy brain. I haven't seen anybody else bring this up. But the thing about having Shia LaBeouf be Silver Surfer is that that's Earth X, right? That's the Earth X continuity. A lot of wild stuff happens over there. If you remember all the way back to Moon Knight, when they sent us comics inspirations in the background of that show, they focused on the Earth X storyline for Moon Knight, where he's running from Kang and trying to prevent an apocalypse. That's from 8 million years ago, and it could be a vestige of what, quote-unquote, the original, like, intention for all this was at some point. So it's clear that someone in the creative council over at Marvel really loves all that, like, Earth-X stuff. They really enjoyed it, and since they couldn't throw it all into one place, right, it is what it is, you know? It's really, really fascinating if they choose to do this. It gives the people a lot of the stuff that they were complaining about that I'm sure they'll find ways to complain about anyway afterwards, because no one's ever defeated. The sun never sets on the war that is Twitter. Like, that's what it is. I did kind of think it was like a goofy kind of Beatles riff thing. I also love Langley, who's the Butch of the Four Tops. Like, yes, okay. You know, weird music history time on Phase Zero. But I would enjoy it if there were some weird group in the 60s in our universe, and that's what he was doing. Because isn't like one of his gimmicks in the first Doctor Strange that he like loves music like a ton?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of music.
Maybe you know there's a band called the Fantastic Four.
That would be fun. And it's what's a dude from That Thing You Do? That's Reed Richards in our universe. Perfect movie. Perfect movie.
I don't know if I necessarily want our universe's version of them to be a music group. I still just think it was just him wisecracking. I don't think there's really anything more to it at the end of the day. I am just hoping that, like, if this is another Earth, if this is a thing, then maybe we don't have a Fantastic Four on the main MCU Earth. And then that becomes the reason why they come over and then are integrated from that point onward. But I don't know. Who knows? I do love Aaron's idea. I'm going to write a whole article on the website about how we need to have like an original theme song the way that WandaVision did, because like so many movies of the 60s really, really have like some sort of song that says the title of the movie and has some like cute little introduction. I really, really hope that happens for FF. But yeah. Does anyone else have any other thoughts on FF?
Nah,
well, there we
go. You know, it just needs to exist. I think that's my thing, and I will always belabor this point anytime I'm on here. It's not a thing until we're there actually watching it. So yes, all this art, all this casting's great, but you know, it's not. I need it to be a thing. So
it's feeling a little bit more real every single day, which I'll take that after this movie's been in development for so long. But yeah, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break. When we come back, we have a little bit more news, and then we will have our X-Men 97 discussion of the week. So stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Phase Zero, Season 4, Episode 15. We're headed to Phase 2, and we have to talk about ridiculous, ridiculous product tie-ins because it's not an episode of Phase Zero unless you get information about what's going on in Marvel from weird merchandise. And no, not cups from CinemaCon. This is different. This week, we saw Marvel and Coca-Cola announce assembling the Avengers like tie-in line with a really, really cute little commercial. But they kind of bury the lead because there are AR heroes you can scan into like a digital thing and have them battle from getting the cans, which gives me all sorts of weird Snapple cap, Pepsi cap flashbacks for those of us who are from a certain era. The list of heroes too is pretty massive, right? So you've got like stuff like Loki and Juggernaut, Blade and Moon Knight, Nick Fury, Super Skrull, Daredevil, Elektra, Cable, Colossus, Ant-Man, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, She-Hulk, Rocket and Groot, Doctor Strange, and Scarlet Witch, Hulk and Thor, Black Panther and Captain America, Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel, and of course, Deadpool and Wolverine, right? Oh, and Iron Man and Thanos too. Wow. I mean, those guys are kind of important. So I heard Jamie give her a little bit on this. She thought it was really cool. Did you see the ad? What'd you think?
Well, I watched the commercial and I thought it was adorable. And as I said in our last episode, I live with a number one Colossus fan. So Tony literally went, when glasses showed up, but I honestly I somehow didn't clock what the commercial was for. I just thought it was a cute Coke commercial. I totally missed that it was like for a whole thing, and like I didn't know that all these AR can whatever is happening. I was just like, look at these characters in this commercial. I totally didn't know that it was a real, like there was something they were promoting between the two. So that's cool. I try not to drink Coca-Cola because I don't have I don't have a stopping point, you know. So but this is really cool, and the commercial was adorable.
As someone who Diet Coke is a staple in my household, we cannot go long without it. So I love this. I think it is adorable. And I definitely need the She-Hulk can. Like, I'm going to fight to try to get that one and have it in my collection. We were talking about this before the show, but I'm curious how many people are going to get like cases upon cases of it and just get the same character over and over again. Like, I feel like that is going to happen and it's going to be hilarious. But I think this is cool. I think having all of these characters who 5-10 years ago were split across all of these different franchises, having them all be united in this one thing is just wild to see.
Yeah, that's a great point. But also 40 characters, I really feel bad for like completionists, you know, because this is far removed from the Star Wars Episode One. Here are five different Pepsi cans that you can collect, you know, or the year they were Dr. Pepper cans with I forget what movie it was. I want to say it was Star Wars, doesn't matter. But point is, like, if you really, like Jenna said, if you're really out there, and let's say you really want Daredevil, and you get a case, and you keep buying cases, and all they are Wolverines, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to trade them to, like, are there going to be trade circuits? Are we going to go to, like, Comic-Con with, like, cases of Coke and be like, does anyone have a She-Hulk?
Like, the biggest flashbacks to schoolyard disagreements of people being like, hey, man, listen, I need a Charmander. Yeah. Hostess Cupcake, you have what I need. Go ahead, Jamie.
No, I have a question to clarify. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are the characters physically on the cans, or do you have to, is just this internet thing where you scan?
No, it's on the can. They're
printed on the can.
Okay, because I would like the can. For my shell. I
was gonna say you need the Wanda one.
Yeah.
Okay. I was confused.
That would be funny if it was just non-script code cans and you just scan them and hope for the best.
Wow, what a rip. Jeez, the scalpers are shambles.
Yeah, and it does look like the designs are also on the case themselves. So, you know, at least you know which ones you're buying, that it's going to be a Marvel thing. It's not particularly lined up with each character, because Hannah, our most recent new hire here, stated that she bought a case and was excited to go through and see what she got, and got like all Daredevil. So, so there is a risk, everyone. Like, let's...
People in the chat are saying something similar. So yeah, it seems like a lot of people are getting Daredevil only cases, which is, it's kind of wild. I feel like that is stealth promo for Daredevil Born Again, which we're going to talk about in a second. But yeah, I just think this is really cool. I love that we're back in like the 90s aughts tie-in promotional stuff. I think that this is just awesome. But yeah, so speaking of Daredevil, according to reports from this weekend, Daredevil Born Again has wrapped filming. So we are now out of the era in which we are getting a absurd amount of set photos from this show and videos and stuff. Reports are also indicating that Islet Zurer is returning as Vanessa Fisk, which has been a interesting point of contention already in the lead up to this show, because there were rumors that the character may or may not be recast. And then Lou Taylor Pucci, who is known for Evil Dead and Physical, is cast in a mystery role. So how do we feel about all of these Daredevil updates?
You embarrassed me in front of the same Vanessa? Yes, please.
You broke Aaron.
Yo, Richard, can I get Patrick King's comment on the big screen, please? That's the theme of this whole Daredevil Born Again thing. Is y'all wanted Daredevil back? Here's 12 of them. Like, you're getting everything. When it comes out, if there's anybody that's like really mad, I'm really going to be like, think about yourself for a second. I don't think any fan base of any nerd thing in the last 5 years has won what they wanted as much as the Daredevil fans. Like, you guys were out there the entirety of being locked inside in 2020 and 2021. Just banging on the gates, and they have relented in wild fashion. Poor Jamie. I'm sorry, Jay. But yeah, I like, good for the Daredevil fans. Adam Barnhart is winning on so many levels right now that, you know, he's not even here physically at our job anymore. He's like off in the weeds doing side quests.
I will say, to the point of y'all want a Daredevil back, here's 12 of them. I'm now like picturing buying a case of the Coke cans and like saving them for when Born Again comes out, and then just cracking one open for each episode, just like having that be the perfect compliment. I feel like someone is going to do that if they haven't already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jamie, how do you feel? Your eyes are kind of glazing over during the conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I started my Daredevil rewatch and stuff, and I always thought this was a weird choice to, like, let's recast some people. And so, it makes sense. Well, you know, like, great. She was a good Vanessa. Why rock the boat? So, great.
Well, speaking of recasting and characters potentially coming back.
Oh my goodness. So, of course, Robert Downey Jr. addressed an MCU return, because any Marvel actor that's ever been in Marvel, this is just their life now, are going to get these questions, and they're going to come from us sometimes. But this was Esquire. He was asked if he'd come back. He said, happily, it's too integral and a part of my DNA. That role chose me. I always say, never, ever bet against Kevin Feige. It is a losing bet. He's the house. He will always win. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's funny that some people were like, oh, Downey Jr. won that Oscar. He's never going back. Downey Jr. clearly enjoyed playing Iron Man, and he's never going to forget the fact that that revitalized his career in a big way. He would not have been in Oppenheimer to win that Oscar if it wasn't for his comeback in the MCU. It's just a fact. So if he was out there being like, nah, F Kevin Feige, I hate those guys. Like, that was crazy. So, like, of course he's open to it.
I do love how level-headed he is about this. Like, when he can say comments like this and then still, like, genuinely laugh at John Mulaney's joke that was made at the one award show about, like, the MCU and superhero movies. Like, he clearly has such a good perspective on the whole scenario, and I think that that's really great. But yeah, I feel like this is the most optimistic he has ever sounded about the concept of coming back, which I'm sad that BD's not here because I feel like he would be hooting and hollering about the prospect of that. But yeah, obviously with Secret Wars and everything else on the horizon, it feels like a no-brainer, even though he'll probably be a lot more expensive now that he has the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah, it goes from one Brinks truck to two, right? Like, it's price now, and they're going to pay it because he is Tony Stark. The people, like Jenna just said, like people like Brandon, who are just constantly, they wanted him back as soon as he was, like, as soon as he left. So this is what it's going to be. If it takes two, if it takes three Brinks trucks, that'll be what it, they'll just pay it. They're going to pay him.
I love this big timers video that Nick is building in the background, just Brinks trucks rolling up in a line. People taking duffel bags full of money up to the front of his crib, which is hilarious. And I love Jamie's weird, like, final boss version of Robert Downey Jr. that comes in and cusses and is angry. Who, like, throws something at a child. Like, that's the Iron Man from the universe final Fantastic Four is set in.
That's the final boss right there. Yeah.
That's right. Champ. The final boss.
The people's champ got his own title belt and everything. Yeah.
Please don't take any cues from Dwayne. Robert Downey Jr., please don't do that. James, like, what the heck is going on? I'll explain it later. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know a little bit.
Oh, you do? Oh, wow. We finally got her, y'all. Not the balloons. We got her.
I love your reaction of, like, she does have the internet. I love that that was the delivery.
That, oh, right. Like, I've seen the memes, Aaron. as someone who always believed this man was going to come back in the fold, it is nice to hear him say it out loud. But I never thought for a second he wasn't coming back, y'all. Like, I just, things have changed so much in the last 3 to 4 years that things that seem like pipe dreams for this fan base are now possible. And if they would get out of their own navel gazing and understand where we are, they would realize that there is some really, really ridiculous stuff that was like 4 or 5 years ago on Reddit or Tumblr or whatever would have been, you got laughed out, you got downvoted to hell saying that, you know what? I think Secret War is going to revolve around Downey, Tobey Maguire, or Hugh Jackman. Everybody be like, you're crazy. Who cares? Does anybody even know where Tobey Maguire is in 2019? And now it's looking all right. It's looking all right. It's looking okay. It's funny. I've said it before to Nick. The home run trot that I'm going to get off after Deadpool Wolverine comes out is going to be great. I'm going to celebrate. There's going to be pyro. I'll figure out how to rig balloons in here like Nick Wright to come from the ceiling. I swear it.
Yeah.
Just a
bottle of champagne. Right. Exactly. It's like, it's Martinelli, so we don't get copyright striked or banned from YouTube. He's coming back, man. It's fine. It's all happening, guys.
Nostalgia's here. Everyone just enjoy it. Like, let's love it. Let's pay what we gotta pay. You know, we gotta pay our Brinks trucks individually to do it. And just enjoy the nostalgia. Let's just enjoy it while it's here. And that's it. Because once it's gone, we're gonna be like, well, where's the nostalgia? Bring it back.
We'll talk about that a lot in our X-Men discussion, I have a feeling. So keeping the train rolling about people potentially returning and beloved MCU things returning.
Yeah. So someone actually did go find Tom Hiddleston to talk about Loki season 3 after being honored. And he talked to Variety. Someone asked about him, like, season 3, are you coming back? Like, what's up with Loki? Everybody just wants to know, what's up with you, you tree? Like, what's going on? And he told them that, I truthfully don't know, but I am so proud of where we landed in season 2. To go from this lost broken skull in Asgard and given a second chance and learn so much about life that he actually gives himself a chance to protect other people has been such an honor. As someone who is going to hopefully hear him speak this week, I hope to hear more about what's going on. Because just like the Downey thing, we ain't seen the last of young Tom Hiddleston, y'all. I don't think by any measure. The outpouring of love. So many people, when Jim left, made jokes about him skipping 10 seconds ahead. It just shows you how many people are watching the show and watching Loki. It was insane. So what do we think about Tom? I don't think it'll be Loki season 3, but...
No, can I just say also on the Jim topic, someone replied to the Hollywood Reporter and made a joke about Jim getting out of jail. That made me really happy that, like, our Jim jokes on this show have reached that point. Like, that's delighted. But yeah, I I agree. I don't think we're getting Loki season three. I feel like season two felt so complete. I feel like anything we could do beyond that just feels like, I don't know, digging up a corpse and trying to reanimate it again. I think that there's still going to be storytelling with Loki and with the other characters in Loki, but I don't fault them and I don't blame them if we don't get a season three.
Yeah,
Loki's my number
one. Literally
boy.
The center. Yeah.
Nick, you know you're on the big screen.
Yeah, I was just gonna say he's literally the center of the multiverse. So there's no way you do a grand multiverse story that we're leading to without just an image of him, a quick glimpse, something just to recognize that he's there. So yeah, he'll be here again. And I also agree with Jamie. He is the number one. So
number one boy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My bad. No, I love him and I always want to see him back. A part of me thinks that could have been the perfect ending for him. It really was a beautiful ending, but we know that it's the multiverse saga and literally has to come back to that. There's gonna be more of it, and give it to me, put it in my eyeballs, can't wait to see what happens. But I also agree, I don't think we're getting Loki season three, and I don't really want a Loki season three, to be honest with you. I just don't think we need it. Let's move to something else.
Absolutely. All right, well, so we have to keep the train rolling. We still have all of our X-Men talk, but before that we have our spicy nugget of the week.
Oh yeah. At Rich, you know what time it is. Drop the basket, boy. Let's go. It's time.
I will say, the chat has been asking for this topic the entire time we've been doing this show. Listen, so I'm excited you're talking about this.
I know, right? And I appreciate all of you trying to produce the show. You guys make the show better. I get weird, funny Twitter messages all the time, and I appreciate it. But sometimes Aaron knows the secret herbs and spices. You don't have to wait. You don't have to ask me. Give me the nuggets. So Lakeith Stanfield of Atlanta, of Haunted Mansion, of Book of Clarence, of a bunch of things. She's talked to Jamie. Not at D23, but he's talked to Jamie. Not about this. he when the news of our new Silver Surfer got reported, he was in the comments on social media and was like, oh man, I thought I got to do that, man. And the comments have since been deleted, leading the fan base to speculate, is Lakeith Stanfield going to play our Silver Surfer? Will he be Norrin Rad in the MCU?
Well, not anymore.
I still do think, given the Earth X of it all, and given the fact that we are purposefully starting with Shaa LaBeouf, I think we are getting a Norrin Rad at some point, whether that is in the universe of the FF movie or in the main universe or something. It's going to be acknowledged. I would not be surprised if Lakeith auditioned for Norrin Rad and they maybe just aren't showing him in the movie, or they are and he didn't get the part. But that added such an interesting layer to the discourse of all of the gender bending of it all. It was really interesting that tweet was kind of put out there.
So to clarify, this man saw that Julia Garner was cast at Silver Surfer and he go, oh, I was up for that role. Uh-oh, I guess I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Not maybe getting that it's a different Silver Surfer that he was. So even whether or not he was going to get the role, I really do think maybe this is proof that we're going to get Norrin as well. I do or he's just clowning. He could just, you know,
he's a weird dude.
You know, he's working. He is in the best way. And I have having interviewed him, he's a very serious person and he takes all of this really seriously, his craft. And so I do kind of believe that he's messing around to get on the comments and be like, oh, that was my role. I don't know.
I don't think Kevin Feige is going to bully him up out the spot to the chat. They're like, oh, he ain't going to be there no more. This man still works with Tom Holland and Mark Ruffalo. He's definitely ain't even in the circus tent yet. He'll be okay if he does. He'll have to go through the head of security over there at Marvel Studios. Kevin's going to be he'll get in his hotel room and he'll be like, strike one. And that's it. So they don't disappear like Batman. But he can still be in there. It can still happen. I don't know. I don't
shake his head and shake his hand, whisper in his ear, you know, just strike one.
That's right. Strike one. You're on notice. Right. And then what was that about? He's gone.
Yeah. Everybody gets one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. I definitely agree. I feel like we are going to get Norrin Rad. The Shala Ball news does not discount that in one way or another. So we will just have to wait and see. But as Aaron has said on the show over and over again, sometimes the internet doesn't want to do that. So all right, we're going to take another quick 1 minute break. And when we come back, we are going to break down X-Men 97 episode 5. We have a lot to talk about in that regard, and we're going to talk full spoilers. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Phase Zero. We are in Phase 3 of today's show, which is our X-Men 97 discussion, and we have a lot to talk about with Episode 5. From this point onward, we will be full spoilers, so if you haven't watched the episode yet, now's the time to dip out. Go watch the episode. Definitely go do that, and then come back. But yeah, Jamie, you're at the top. I definitely want to hear your reaction.
Oh my god! The amount of times I gasped during this episode, at one point I went, no, and it's not even the part you think. Like, I just, it was such a good episode anyway, and then that third act popped off. It was crazy, it was sad, it was devastating, it was amazing animation, but the drama, like, all leading up to, like, there was so much drama, and I love that. I love it so much. Oh my god, there's so many moments in this episode that I'm sure we'll get into that I just have so many thoughts and feelings about. Oh, holy moly.
Nick, how do you feel about it?
So I just do have to preface this by saying it is cool that Emma Frost is here, but she's introduced sitting, so I don't get to see how tall she is in this new version. So I just want to say that. But as of the actual content of the episode, I'm glad I got all my laughs out in the first half of this Phase Zero, because now we're serious. This is the mid-season turning point, and it's clear that all bets are off. Like, this is completely, everyone's on the table. Everyone is, there's no gold balls jokes. It's getting real. And I'm appreciative of how real it got. And of course, getting a Godzilla Sentinel kind of shout out during the whole Godzilla X Kong thing going on and Godzilla Minus One. I just loved all of that. What an episode.
Aaron.
I mean, it's very just funny because, like, as devastating as everything is, I get massive, massive flashbacks to watching Bold and the Beautiful and Jennifer Lott Hospital in my grandmother's living room. Like, Aaron is here for all of the elements of this show, not just the crazy. It's weird that we've seen an on-screen genocide two times in the last 2 weeks, like with Avatar Last Airbender and this. I need you guys to stop having people get routed on screen. But other than that, which was very wild to see, it was so sad. You get all these fun cameos. You get a little Dazzler preview before later this summer, hopefully. And like, they all of them pretty much eat it. It's really, really crushing. And no. I just want to say, Lenora Zan, take a bow, young lady. And yeah. I mean, oh, it's just, it really is tremendous. I just can't say enough about how, like, I could watch 5 seasons, man. Watch 5 seasons, easy.
Leech, my poor baby.
Leech can't get to break. 30 years, he just can't.
God.
Just heartbreaking. I was like pumping my fist in the air multiple times during the first half of this episode. Like, every single cameo, all of these little bits of lore and just character drama, I was so happy. And then it immediately dovetails into something that was so well done, so heartbreaking. I tweeted, I honestly think this is one of the best like pieces of X-Men media that we've ever gotten. Like, this to tell a story this complete and this ambitious in 36 minutes is so wild. And I think it is proof of why the experiment of this show is working so well. Just like, I know Nick can attest to this, but like the anime influences of the big third act fight, like, were unbelievable. It's just astonishing. So we'll break down the Easter eggs. Feel free to add anything else that y'all remembered. So the title of the episode is called Remember It, which is Gambit's catchphrase from the original series, and which now has an even more heartbreaking connotation in this episode. Jamie, I know I need to hear your thoughts on the love triangle, on Gambit, on everything.
Okay, well, first of all, I just have to say that Calypso died, and I was like really upset because I love Calypso. So, and I was like really already in those feels, and I was not prepared for an immediate bigger death to happen right afterwards. And I was like, And so, like, I'm just so the but the love triangle. So I guess that's not what you're asking. Sorry, you're asking about the love triangle. You're good. Which one?
You know the one that you are very invested in.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I really like that we got the little flashback with Magneto and Rogue, and the whole like her kind of breaking up with Remy was just really sad, and that whole scene was really devastating. And it wasn't even like there was another also, I guess it's a love cube is the other one. I guess we'll get to that. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's all sexy. I'll just say that it's really sexy.
go ahead, Aaron.
In the flashback, she's dressed like Rogue on the cover of X-Men 274, which I'm just like, if you ever like Spencer Perry's wife is like the romance novel like person. Yeah. And we have literally laughed about, I'm like, man, oh man, golly, this belongs in those, like, remember when supermarkets had like paperback books?
The Fabio?
And it would just be the Fabio cover. Yeah. And like, yeah, aesthetic stuff. There's a lot of that going on in here, Jamie. Oh my God.
Yeah, that whole flashback was clearly a reference to their initial romance in the Savage Land in the comics. So that was super cool. We do have to talk about the love cube. I do want to talk about that because I evangelized about Madeline Pryor a couple weeks ago. I was so happy she's back because I fully expected her to just leave the show. That would be that. Maybe we'd see her at the end of the season or another season from now. I love that we are now getting into this and it's getting this messy. I saw articles and people arguing that the way that they handled the Maddie Jean reveal kind of helped Scott not look as bad as he does in the comics of willingly marrying a man who looks exactly like his dead girlfriend. And so I do kind of love now, just for the sake of mess, that we are getting into that of him, you know, being torn between Jean and Maddie. What do y'all think about it?
So I do want to say, with the Jean Grey part of it all and the Wolverine scene, support women's wrongs, right? So let Jean Grey work through what she's working through, all right? And I get, and Wolverine, you know, 1,000 years old, understands, hey, she's going through it. I'm not going to add on to this pile. Let me just walk away from this. We'll pretend like it never happened. I just want to say that. Just support Jean Grey.
Yes. Jean kissing Wolverine was my biggest gasp. I was shook. And
hell yeah.
To piggyback off of Nick's very wise words, I don't remember who it was, but somebody in the comments earlier was like, Jean is cheating. Okay. Calm down. Like, Scott just had a baby with another woman. She's going through her feelings. And then, like, Wolverine is in love with her and giving her attention. Yeah, she's going to kiss him. Chill out. Like, there's a lot of things happening, and we support it. I was so shook, though. And I do, I as much as I hate Scott and his dramatic little butt, I do feel bad for him. Like, it's understandable. But it was so funny. The first shot of him in this episode is him like,
ugh. Yes.
Like, he just can't not be a little baby. He just can't do it.
For the listeners, Jamie literally mailed me a Cyclops action figure that she had because she as she wrote me, she didn't want to have him in her home anymore.
Wow.
He has been rehomed to my household because she doesn't like Scott that much. But yeah, Garen. Aaron, how do you feel about the love square?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rogue could be for the streets, but that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. She's just friendly. That's all. That's okay. I also laugh because, like, Scott has the same thing that Kanye has going on, where it's like, my wife, I'm the next woman I marry, and the next woman I marry after that are all very, 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 very similar. That if you look from far away without my glasses, I'm like, are they the same? Is that Kim? No, it's not. Like, he has that problem until we get to Emma Frost. Like, he has the, like, looking for Jean Grey problem at around every corner until that happens. So it's funny. And I will say, JBB too, when she kissed Logan, I was like, oh Lord, we really are going to do like the weird love web. I think we're being nice calling it a cube.
Yeah.
I think we're being real, real nice doing that.
It's a murder board, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. There's red string everywhere. Like, it's not great. But I really love it because it is messy. Like you said, I was like, I didn't think we'd see Goblin Queen until maybe the inevitable at the end of this when something really goes bad and they need all the mutants to stand against it. But to get her back, like, what, two episodes later or something is nutty. It's really nutty. I can't say enough. The interpersonal drama is what I come for. So it's delightful.
And go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and I did not know the backstory behind your new Cyclops figure. So that's great. Thank you for sharing with the audience. This is delightful.
For people who follow me on Twitter, we have been posing the tiny Scott that Jamie sent me and the full size Scott that we have. They're having a lot of fun on our bookshelf. So on the topic of the messy interpersonal drama, I love how this version of Genosha is really the closest we've ever gotten to seeing Krakoa in another medium, both with like all of the mutant dynamics and everything, down to the council on Genosha is almost identical to the Quiet Council, down to having Moira there, which is really interesting because if you know Moira's more recent history, the fact that they're like, why is she here? She's a human. It's a little more complicated than you expect. How do we feel about kind of, because I know we've speculated on the show about the Hellfire Gala, about Krakoa. How do we feel about this?
I was sad to see them all dressed up because it was like, oh, it's not really the gala. Yeah. I was like, oh, we were wrong. But this whole, like the whole setup of this is really, it's really cool. And it's different. It's exciting.
Yeah. Translating, where is this going? Is it going?
Translating Hickman's like snippy, funny sniping at each other in around that big table is a key part of like modern X-Men. To see any version of it, it's very, very delightful too.
Like, oh my God.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. No. Just Emma Frost. Like, she was like snooping in on the mental conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this. Like going back to Aaron's soap opera things. Like that's totally like a Melrose Place kind of moment. You know.
How do we get Emma and Scott wrapped in now? Like,
It'll happen. It's only a matter of time. Honestly,
how long?
If you like that, like to our point, go read the Krakoa era comics because there are a lot of moments like that. There's a lot of drama like that. There are graphs proving certain relationships. So it's so great. We get a lot of cameos in this episode around Genosha. We got Glob, who was one of the first times I like pumped my fist in the air. I was so excited to see Glob. That like they translated his character design in the coolest way. We have Boom Boom. We have Multiple Man. We have Dazzler, who is back and wearing the same kind of aesthetic that she had in the original series. There were so many more beyond that. Like we said, we were talking about the Morlocks and everybody. Who was your favorite kind of cameo in the episode?
For me, I want to. One thing I'm loving about the show is how the opening credits change every week. So yeah. I knew from the opening credits that Nightcrawler was going to show up because he was in the. You saw him in there, and like I was excited to see him. I wouldn't even call him a cameo because he's like around. But I really like that. I like the credits are doing this thing. It was the same thing last week with Mojo. I'm like, oh, look who it is! They're going to be here, and I think that's a really fun thing that they're doing, and it's like it's exciting.
Yeah, Nightcrawler's cool. Like, I don't know. That was my thing. I was just kind of like the new Banff is so cool looking. And Nightcrawler's new design where it's like you really see the shading and it's just and then Nightcrawler gets these big saves and it's like, yo, like, oh, I was in my feelings. Just, you know, I was there. I was loving it.
Aaron, did you have a favorite cameo in the episode?
I mean, there's a lot to go. Like on a nerdy level, I suppose, like Archangel being there and flying out. And as a big Smash Brothers fan, watching him get world alighted was very, very, very funny. Unfortunately, there's like five people. Thank you, Nick. He got lit up. It was so violent. I was like, oh man, that's what made it so heartbreaking. I was like, all these random, I love the giant cast of characters. Some of the best fun of the Hickman run of X-Men is these big splash pages with all of them there. And you're like doing Where's Waldo with your faves, trying to figure out where they are. Delightful stuff. And also, I think J.P. Karliak plays Archangel for the grunt before he gets disintegrated, which is hilarious. He told me that in an interview. He said, oh, yeah, Archangel. I did like an effort. And now I know why he said that. It was not a line. It was like a, and then he's gone.
Oh, so I wanted to ask about that. People are saying Watcher. So what?
Yes. So we're going to talk about that. Yeah. So another cameo buried in this episode. You kind of, if you blink, you miss it. I have it pulled up here. I brightened it as much as I humanly possible could on my phone. Richard, I think we have the image ready to go. The Watcher is in the sky right before the fireworks go off. I think this is right before Rogue and Gambit are talking, at the start of the party. So a lot of people have said, oh, that was kind of proof that something really bad was about to happen to everybody because the Watcher's kind of overseeing all of it. It obviously raises the question of, like, if any of this gets undone in any way, is that going to screw with the multiverse? Is the Watcher going to have to intervene? But yeah, what does everyone else think? The chat is, like, mind blown that this is in there.
Yeah.
I did not see this.
Oh, my God.
All I'll say is I think it's awesome and I love it, but I also don't want it to bring us like a what if crossover. I don't think that's what they're doing, but I don't really want that. If we were to do that, give me that in like season 3 of X-Men 97. You know what I mean? Not now, but that's a cool little Easter egg that I did not see.
I feel so ridiculous that I never once considered this was in the MCU multiverse. I kind of just thought it was its own 90s thing, you know, a little 90s pocket that they're doing. You know, I was just, you know, like I said, from the beginning, I was like, oh, I was hoping it was going to start a 90s universe. But I just now it's in the MCU multiverse. Oh, my God.
It makes a little bit of sense, but we're not going to see, like, you know, like, it's not going to be like Haley Atwell walks in and fights alongside the cartoons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like MC Scat Cat. That's not going to happen, but it could. I wish it would.
Two steps forward, two steps back. Yeah,
That's real. When we talked to Jake Castoretta and we talked to Winterbomb, they both kind of said, like, the original show is the reason we have a legal department that dodges that. Detects the cameos, and that there were certain cameos that's in the lineage of this show. So I don't know. It seems like it. I mean, the funny thing, could you imagine being Jeffrey Wright getting a text? Like, can you just come in and do like a day? Can you just come in and do like a day? We don't need you for that long. Can you just go in your closet and record this real quick? But I get what Jamie said. We're having so much fun with the main X-Men that it's like, would that detract from everything else? I don't know.
As a counterpoint, what if in What If season 3 we touch on the X-Men in some sort of way? What if they have an episode exploring like an alternate path of this massacre or something?
That'd Chef be great. Kiss. Bring them over to What If. I just don't want What If to come over to them. Yeah, again.
I think that's going to be what'll happen.
I think that's a great idea for What If.
There are rumors, I'll say.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Of course, of course.
I do have to shout out the song because we were talking about it before the show. We were trying to identify it. It is Happy Nation by Ace of Base. I know Aaron is elated that this song was used.
Man, I'm so annoyed that I talked to the composer before this episode because I would have loved. We talked about, like, jokingly about other, like, 90s dance music and stuff. And to actually use the actual song, because I was like, is this like an Ace of Base sound alike? You know, to quote Jenna and Chris, is this the Malk Ace of Base? Is that what we're doing? And it's like, no, it's an actual song, which is really nice. It's really cool. I'm sure. And that's like the lead single off their album from like 1992. So it's like both a big song and not one of the two songs you think of when you think of Ace of Base, but still like bangs. And also, man, oh man, is a instinctive part of the rug pull too, because nothing says we're having a good time and nothing bad is about to happen like Ace of Base. Like, nothing. Yeah. 1992? Oh, nothing terrible is going to happen yet. You know, it's bad. It's not great.
Well, so getting to the topic Nick, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, like, so on top of all that, like, so who do we, like, who do you think is behind this? Okay.
Yeah, so there are theories. I have a theory, and the chat is even taking it a step further. So the Genosha massacre in the comics and kind of the Godzilla Sentinels are created by Cassandra Nova, who in the comics is Charles's long-lost sister. We've talked about her a little bit. There, depending on what you read about Deadpool and Wolverine, there's some heavy rumors about her possible involvement with the movie. So maybe there's a chance that she is somehow the mastermind of it. The chat is also suggesting that maybe Val is Cassandra Nova in disguise and has been kind of using her pull with the UN and with the mutants to kind of pull a heel turn on them. So what does everyone else think?
I just like the idea of it being someone new. Like we can only get like Mastermold and like, or like a Trask, like Apocalypse, like so many times. I like the idea of this show bringing in a new villain.
These things work in concert now.
Yeah.
They work in concert a lot more than they used to, which is very funny. So while everybody is watching, quote unquote, the second highest rated Marvel Disney Plus anything, here's your introduction to the big bad of the movie you're all going to go see this summer, is doing double duty and a cool device, like Jamie said, to give us a new villain, because we've used the other people from the original series already at least one time, right? I don't know if it's twice. I think it's just once. But yeah, that would be fascinating too, because I mean, Cable would be a part of that too. We get all timey-wimey shenanigan up in here if that goes down.
I just love it purely in the sense of it makes sense within the narrative of where we've been left off, and where if Charles really is presumed dead, I could see Cassandra either being like, I'm mad I didn't get to kill him first, so I'm going to take revenge on the X-Men, or just trying to attack the X-Men because of her general motive. So yeah, I think it would be cool. It's obviously, if she isn't Deadpool and Wolverine, it's not going to be the same iteration, but it is a really cool way to kind of introduce the character in both avenues. But yeah,
does anyone Emma else? Corrin doing the voice. Yes. We'd all just die. We'd all just pass away.
I do like the theory that it could be Val, though. I think that there might be something to that, and we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah,
see, does anyone else Val have any Mystique.
Other? I do like that too. That would be a lot of fun. But yeah, either way, something crazy is going to happen. But does anyone else have any other comments about the episode?
Let's get what's next.
Oh,
I know.
Does anybody really think Gambit's not totally not dead, right? This is a secret invasion situation.
Yeah.
Can I how dare they pull up my Wanda and Vision heartstrings with the I can't feel you business?
Uh-huh,
that was mean. I feel like I think he's dead, but I feel like Cable or something is gonna somehow reverse some business. I don't think Gambit's gone for good. I think Calypso might be, though. I don't know. I'm really sad about that one too.
I do want to hope that they're just going to undo as much of this as humanly possible, because like there were some characters, like some big characters, who were seemingly killed off in this episode. Yeah. So
like my poor baby Leech.
Leech. Oh my gosh. So we'll have to wait and see. I do love the way that we reintroduced Cable, and him having the connection with Madeline just seems like a really cool touch. So, all right. So we'll all go around. We'll share our review score. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty high. Jamie, you're at the top of the board.
It's a 10. This is a 10. Move on.
Nick.
Yeah, it's a 10. It's a 10.
Aaron.
As I still ride high from WrestleMania, it's a 10. It's a 10.
I love that every time Nick is here, we're just 10 out of 10, no notes. So yeah, I agree. It's a 10. Like I said, I legitimately think that this is one of the best pieces of X-Men media we've ever gotten, outside of the comics. I think that this was just outstanding. It's going to be funny when BD sees our score for this versus our score for Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
BD has some feelings about us rating Deadpool 1 what we did, which was very funny.
Do you think it was too low? Pretty high.
Yeah, he did. He thought it was too low.
I thought it was too high. Episodes, I guess. So, yeah.
I'm so eager to see what our number ends up being for Deadpool 2. But we will get to that a couple of weeks from now in our bonus episodes. Thank you to everybody who listened to and watched our Deadpool review earlier this week. We will be back next week to tackle X-Men Apocalypse, which should be very interesting. Stay tuned to your podcast feed and the Phase Zero YouTube channel, because Aaron and I have a spotlight interview that should be going up on Friday. We won't say anything more than that. We'll just let it be a surprise. But yeah, Aaron, you're at the top of the board. What do you want to leave the listeners with today?
Well, we have just pimped out all the X-Men interviews we've done for a month and a half, so I will switch gears. If you want to hear me talk to the Spider-Verse short director about his takes on Miles Morales and mental health, and just sort of that conversation about that, which I've gotten some nice messages from people about, that is on the Phase Zero YouTube channel with Jarell Dampier. He was delightful. Thank you, Sony Pictures Animation, for doing that. Miles will probably not be in here, but who knows? Because X-Men 97 just has everybody in it, apparently.
Jamie.
Oh, I got so much stuff going on. So follow me on Instagram and Letterboxd is Jamie Girac, and on Twitter it's Jamie Cinematics. Yeah, lots of business. You know the business. Don't take your phones out in the theater.
Nick.
You can find me at Valdizology on all the medias. If you want to hear more about animation, please check us out. Please check me out along with the anime team over on Anime Initiative as part of the Comic Book Nation family. And you can also find me talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. It's ending soon. Oh my God. With Anna Rumor and Pop Culture Social Call.
Awesome. And you can find me on social media at Hey, It's Jenna Lynn. As always, go read some comics. Like I said, if you loved this episode, if you love the energy of Genosha, go read the Krakoa era. You will not be disappointed at all. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow us on social media. As I said, we have a lot coming down the pipeline. We have spotlight episodes. We have interviews. So be sure to stay subscribed because you won't want to miss any of it. Play the show for your mom. Play the show for your dog. And we will see you on Monday.